over. Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Wickman, along with my air guitar specialist.
I didn't know you were a rock and roller there, Brad. I figured you're more for a country guy.
No, I am solid, old style, classic rock. Queen, AC/DC, the list goes on and on. But hey, we're not here to talk about me. We're here to talk about you because you have all kinds of cool things happening in your life. And we're here for an event.
I have a lot of classic rock, too.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later.
We're here to find out about the event that we're here for and also tell us about what's happening in your life in general, business-wise.
Well, we got lots of stuff going on, Brad. Obviously, we're here in Rock Island, Tennessee. You just made the journey. You showed up a half hour early, as I forgot that I should have predicted. You're never late. I like that about you. But you're always early, too. That's cool. And we're here at my home, Rock Island, in the middle of nowhere. And we're here because we've got a Fat Tire Invitational kayak fishing tournament. It's very exciting. And the purpose of it is a variety of things. We're doing river cleanups. We've got a wide array of amazing people with Scott Canterbury and Chad Hoover and Bridget Howard and Torrance Goldwyn and myself going to be down on the Caney Fork River paddling past epic waterfalls, hopefully catching some big fish and doing a river cleanup. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be all kinds of good stuff. So we'll post about that and we'll send all kinds of things going out. So you'll be able to check social media for all the things on it, but let's go to the World Cup. Is that what it's called?
You're talking about whitewater kayaking now, Brad. Yeah. It's like fishing, but different.
That's right.
So this is kayaking, just like kayak fishing, paddle, except there's no fishing involved. So we had the U.S. Olympic team trials for slalom were just a few weeks ago in Charlotte, North Carolina. And there's a new event that's adopted for the 2024 Olympics. I call it boater cross, like border cross, head-to-head racing.
Right.
But for the Olympics, they dubbed it extreme slalom. And it's basically you come off a big ramp, four people at a time, and then it's just a battle to the finish with upstream gates and stuff to mix it up. And it's something I've done really well with over the years and won a lot of those. Anyway, I'm really good at that sport.
Yeah.
And it was added to the U.S. team trials, added to World Cup and World Championships for 2021 for the first time. So I was fortunate enough I was able to go train, go compete in the event and make the U.S. team. So I leave first we have the NPFL event next week on Harris Chain.
Yep.
I get back on Sunday, and then I pack my whitewater boats and head to Nashville and fly to Munich, Germany, and then drive to Prague, Czech Republic, compete in the World Cup there, and then there's 1 week in between to train in Merkleburg, Germany for the second World Cup, and then we'll come home, and then later in the season there's the World Championships and the rest of the World Cup events, so it's going to be a lot of fun to line up against all the 20-year-olds,
That's a lot of paddling.
It's it's not as much paddling as I used to do. That's all I used to do is to go whitewater kayaking, obviously. But it's a fair amount of paddling. But my next week is going to be in a bass boat. So the training's going to be, I'm just going to have to do push-ups and whatever. I don't know.
Something like that. That takes us up to Apex Watercraft. And that's actually, I made this really big so you could see this is his pickup truck. This is what you also go to kayak tournaments in.
Yeah, so obviously, kayaking is my sport, and kayak fishing is something very dear to my heart, and I've had a lot of time to put kayak fishing boats out there, and this is my latest creation. It's a team effort. Bob Blair, my designer, who designs marathon and endurance racing stand-up paddle boards, helped me come up with a hull shape that was super fast and efficient and stable. It's a next-generation kayak fishing boat. And then, of course, Torrance saw it today, and he goes, "What is that, about 75 pounds?" I'm like, "No, it's like 40 pounds. He's like, "What?" And that, of course, that is the big deal. The weight is like the number one first thing. It's like, 40 pound, almost 13 foot boat, 36 inches wide is like not easy to make. And it's all the latest materials, carbon fiber infusion. And just that alone doesn't do it. You've got to really do a lot of work and time and effort, which we've been putting in to get the weight down, and it's where we want it now. It's pretty awesome.
Where are these being made at?
These ones here, we made molded these in Texas outside of Dallas. We're working with different people on how to manufacture them. We've got We have a factory in Virginia, Joey Schott, Turning Point Boatworks, that's molding them right now, and we've been working with him for about 6 months. And then we have another factory in Europe, in Portugal, that's can handle all the European market and even overflow in our market if we need it. And those guys are awesome also. So we've got a couple places where we're making them. And we did most of our work right here in Rock Island out of our factory here, getting things ready and doing all the small parts and engineering and R&D. Right. But we're now just getting into production. So what is it? Almost June. Yep. So we're looking, I think July will actually be, the boats will be hitting the customers, and then it will actually be able to start selling them again.
Talk about some of the features of this features of this boat. You talked about it being lightweight and stable.
Yep. Yeah, so kayak pitching boats, you know, there's 37 brands making roto-molded plastic kayaks out there. And, you know, one of the number one challenges is they're all really heavy. You just can't make a lightweight plastic boat.
Right.
The other issues is you have to have those scupper holes, all the holes through them. That's the only way to support it vertically. And each one of those scupper holes is like a water break. It really slows the boat down a lot. Not to mention you lose your tungsten through there, but there's a variety of challenges with the scupper holes. So a couple of the things we're able to do, number one, we're able to get the weight down, and we're able to put a really flat, clean, really efficient hull with no scupper holes. And we have the water actually just drains out the back. It's like an open back, and it just sits slightly bow up in such a way. If water comes in, it just runs out the back. If you go through a big wave and choppy water or whatever, or run white water, it's out the back instantly, where a plastic boat, if water goes over, it fills up and you're like completely full and it's super unstable.
Right.
And it takes like 5 or more seconds before the water starts draining out and you're back in business again. So there's that. And then there's just the seat. The seat, 2007, we brought the what's called the Elite seat to the Day Tripper, and that's the first frame seat that you see on all boats now. It's like a frame hammock seat that's elevated. That was created for our Day Tripper back in 2007. That's what you see in every fishing boat today. And I was ready for the next generation, and it's a bucket seat that's a carbon fiber bucket seat. Believe it or not, it's way more comfortable because it's actually form fitted to your rear end and to your ergonomically. There's no pressure points, but it's also a swivel seat. And that's massive. Like, if you can just literally turn around backwards and get into your bag behind you, you can turn sideways to get in and out. It provides easier access for people in and out of the boat. It's more comfortable, and it also allows you to access stuff behind you. And even just, let's say you want to cast over here, instead of being like having to wiggle your butt in the seat and try to look like this, you just go whoop. The seat just goes with you, and it's just a much freer casting also. So just a better fishing platform. And then there's a lot more, like the rod storage. People are like, where's the rod holders? I'm like, well, you just go like this, whoop. You push it down right next to the seat, and there's just a nub. And you literally just bend the rod a little bit behind the nub, and the pressure just holds it in place so you don't have all this rod sticking up.
Right.
I don't know, but I paddle under trees, through culverts and everything. I don't know how anybody fishes with 8 rods sticking vertically. I look at that, and I'm like, I guess he's stuck out in the middle of the lake. So we made the objective here was to be able to carry a lot of rods, but inside down, not in the wind, not in the way of casting, that type of thing. Flush mounted, you've got what we call the dashboard. You flush mount your electronics in front of you. Super awesome. So all the cables are out of the way. You can do shoot through the hull for a sonar down vision. Pretty super convenient and out of the way. Again, you don't have a screen in the way of your casting, your rods, or landing fish, that type of thing. And the list goes on. There's a lot of other cool things. But Torquedo steering kit, you know, we have it mounted for a Torquedo. So it's, you know, of course, you got your power pole mount on the back, so the same four screw pattern. But with the Torquedo, you put it on there, we've got the same foot braces that you control the Torquedo with your feet, 7.5 miles an hour. It's almost double the speed of a lot of the plastic kayaks out there, and it's just significantly faster than any other boat on the market. And it's super fun. It turns like you're like on plane, and you turn. It's like whoa, it's just like whoo. It's fun just to run around. But you can go almost twice as far on one battery charge with this boat as you can.
It's lightweight.
It's lightweight, but the hull's super clean. Just the shape of the hull. So keep in mind that a plastic boat, plastic is a terrible material to make a kayak out of, other than its durability and that you can take any shape. The problem with plastic is, you know how you put a boat on a hot day and it just melts and kind of compresses, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you can't put a boat on roof racks on a 90 degree day and leave it there. It just goes, it's just generally not a structural material. So how do you make a kayak out of plastic? We have to make all these really hard angles to add structure to it. That's so you can't really make as efficient of a hull as you want to, if that makes sense.
Right.
Where the carbon fiber, we're able to make a super clean hull that when you get up to speed, really carries its speed well.
So I fished out of one, and I paddled out of one, tried following him, which is like...
You paddled the crap out of it. You went all over the place on Gunnersville. That was awesome.
Yes, we did, fast and really stable. So that was what I saw a lot of.
And you weren't really on Gunnersville. You were way up the creeks in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you can go anywhere in those, and very, very little water. So we'll go to the fishing part, so the gear. So what kind of gear... And what are you? Are you a big jig fisherman? What kind of fisherman are you? Everyone gets, you know, everyone pigeonholed like, oh, he's a shaky head fisherman. Oh, he's a wake bait fisherman. What kind of fisherman are you?
Generally speaking, my lures move pretty fast. I love throwing a swim jig. Right. You can pretty much find me, like I pretty much always have a swim jig tied on. Right. I've got a... But when I do slow down, I'm big into like a weightless Ocho worm on like a 3-0 hook and just.
Uh-huh.
That's my finesse fishing. That speed fishing. I'm using jigs. I'm using spinner baits. I'm using buzz baits. Haven't been doing as much topwater as I used to. I don't know why. Yeah. Like I should. Mm. I don't know. But my buzz baits seem to be my topwater lure right. choice. I'm not using topwater as much as I was. I don't know. But generally speaking, I like to cast, so you don't see me flipping very much. I'm almost right. always launching, I like to skip, that type of thing. So that's right. for me, it's like, I don't know, the casting to me is part of the game, and I like uh-huh. long casts, long, you know, hard casts.
So you're fishing in the National Professional Fishing League.
Uh-huh, you heard it. It's a brand new league.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Al and Brad, you know, they came together with Paul Benson. They're right. like, we want to make a league that's really focused on the anglers, angler-focused. You know, uh-huh. they're not really tied in. Doesn't matter who your sponsors are or anything. And really bring back the weigh-in experience. It's the truck weigh-in, trailer weigh-in,
yep.
The fan experience. Obviously, with COVID in 2020, it's a challenge. But 2021 has started, and COVID's starting to lift, and people are able to come. It's going to be... you know, it's as a bass fisherman, you know, it's what I envision. Like, it's super fun,
right.
The way they do the tournaments. And it's a 3-day tournament. Nobody gets cut. That's an interesting, right. different approach. So you sign up. You know, let's just say you let's say you don't make the cut. You pay, that's, you know, $5,000 entry fee for a FLW or now MLF, you know, big right. five tournament. If you don't make the top 30 cut, you only fish for 2 days, right? Right. Here you get 3 days of fishing. I like fishing, so, and right. I've made cuts, but I've gone many tournaments without making a cut, and only fishing right. 2 days and going home isn't nearly as cool as being guaranteed yes. to fish to the end zone. So you've got all the way to the end zone, you still have a fighting chance of either, you know, winning, you know, placing top 10, getting a check or whatever. So it's, I like that a lot.
Yep. So, you know, it's,
what you got?
No, we have to go one more thing is,
what's that? What are you going to do with
those? What's your, well, this is, is that, we'll just run to Tackle Time. Tackle Time, of course, is sponsored by Pico Lures. They make all kinds of crankbaits and jig heads and soft plastics, all the stuff that you need to go fishing for any kind of game fish. Pico Lures has it. You can check them out at picolures.com. And our other sponsor, of course, is Smith Products. And Smith Products has a whole line of tools for fishermen, which is pretty cool. And
I haven't used these ones yet. Show
yeah,
me.
Well, they're not rusted. So that's the reason why. That's the reason why the Lilueya is a 6.5-inch pliers. And that's one of their most popular tires.
Can you cut braid with the
clippers? Yes, I believe so. You cut Ooh. Braid, and you can do just about anything. You smash a... split ring or whatever you need.
You can straighten your hooks out and everything.
There you go. Everything you need to know.
That's awesome. These are Smith,
Smith products. So make sure you check them out at smithproducts.com. That takes us back to it's a nice, hot, warm day in Tennessee. What would someone possibly drink, an adult beverage, out here in Tennessee? Is there one that you prefer?
Are we plugging sponsors right now? Well, I mean, at my house, if you go on my back deck, you'll see a fat tire beer neon thing. And when that thing is on, the kegerator's open. So anybody, anytime, I've got a whole bunch of glasses off to the side. It's cooled down to about 5 or 6 degrees, you know, and you just go, fat tire. Anyway, that's it's one, and there's reasons for that. So the fat tire, there's a lot of beer out there.
Right.
Fat tire beer, as of 2 years ago, I don't know what the number is now, it already put over $26 million of cash into protecting the outdoors in a variety of ways.
They're
really strong, and their focus wasn't fishing. They weren't into fishing at all. It was like kayaking and mountain biking and rivers and mountains, but all the same stuff, you know, water quality, air quality, protecting the woods and everything. But now they're getting more into fishing, too. So, they're sponsoring this event, and they have fishermen on board, and they're looking at, you know, total conservation. So they're getting into that space as well. And besides the fact that it's been I'm a beer drinker, and ale specifically, and fat tire or something.
Yeah.
I've been drinking since the 90s, going to Colorado whitewater kayak events.
Right.
They've always sponsored those events. And I used to come out of my RV on a Sunday morning, and there'd be a case of fat tire beer sitting by my steps. I'm like, love these guys.
It was like Christmas every day.
It wasn't every day, but every like after events, because they know I'm drinking fat tire and enjoying it, whatever. And I didn't even know who it was. I just know that there's beer sitting there, and I'm like, man, one day I want to get sponsored by these guys. And sure enough, I've been lucky enough that has happened. This guy, Tyler Weedy, looked me up and I'm like, whoa, wait, Fat Tire wants to sponsor me? Like, I'm in. Like, let's go. Like, step one, I got to have lots of beer.
Kegerator.
Kegerator. Yeah, I mean, Kegerator's the bomb. I mean, yeah, sure, drinking out of bottles and cans are fine. But from a conservation point of view, the number one negative impact making beer has on the environment is the packaging. It's the cans and the bottles. Even if you recycle them, drinking out of a kegerator, you know, the kegs themselves, you take them back, they refill them. Yep. The glasses that you're drinking out of, you wash them, you bring them back. So it's just the beer. So you eliminate 2/3 or more of the negative environmental impact of beer by drinking out of a keg. So I'm doing my part for the environment. I drink a lot of keg beer anytime I can. And I walk by that keg, I'm like, ooh, I could have another beer. Anyway.
It's important that you do your part.
I do my part. You don't have to bend my arm to have a beer. I was just actually thinking it's noon already. Like, lunch beer is good to go. Like, I can't believe I'm sitting down here in my driveway and my kegerator's all the way up there. Like, can I go get a beer?
I'm sure the cord only goes so far.
We'll wait.
That's all good. Hey, if they wanted to check out more about you, where would they go? You have an Instagram page, Facebook page?
My Facebook is eric.ej.jackson. That's my fan page. Check that out. That's where I probably put most of, if I'm going to upload a video, it usually goes there, or longer stories and that type of thing. I have a YouTube channel, Eric Jackson Kayak. Instagram page is Eric Jackson. No, it's EJ Kayak. Sorry, at EJ Kayak.
Okay.
And I have another EJ Kayak one. I don't know. My LinkedIn is Eric Jackson Kayak. I do some posts on there too. But apexwatercraft.com. You can see stuff about the boat.
Yep.
On Instagram, I do a lot of posts, and if you look at it, I do a lot of family posts. Like, I just taught my 12-year-old how to Eskimo roll a kayak, a whitewater boat, which is very exciting because he's my third child.
You always like to teach your child. You want them to enjoy the same things you you enjoy.
Just for very selfish reasons, like I want to go whitewater kayaking, and if he doesn't want to go or can't go, and I go whitewater kayaking, in that moment I'm not being a very good dad. I'm just being a selfish guy who wants to go whitewater kayaking. Well, I'm going to do that either way, and I'm just going to be the selfish guy that goes whitewater kayaking, leaves the kid behind, but then the kid wants to go whitewater kayaking and learns how to do it, comes with me, then I'm a good dad. So it's like, am I a good dad or good, bad dad? Well, it depends on the kid, really. So I've been really fortunate that my daughter, who's 31, and my son, Dane, 27, they're both world champions. Emily.
And Dane.
They're both world champion kayakers, top of their game. I was lucky that they paddled with me every day. So, you know, my wife's friends would say, oh, your husband's such a good dad. He spends so much time with the kids. And I'm thinking, whew, man, if they wanted to play soccer or something, they'd be like, man, your husband never spends any time with the kids. So anyway, so teach your kids what you love, and it's being easy to be a good parent.
There you go. Fathering advice with EJ. That can be your podcast show. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. Make sure you can check Pico Lures out at picolures.com. You can check Smith Products out at smithproducts.com. And I tell you, make sure you keep your hooks sharp and your lures in the water. Oh, this is where you get...
good combo.
Yeah, this is where you get... get the plug in.